Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
2-score lead, almost a 3-score lead becomes, you guys are down now. So I take everything that went into it. You said nobody blinked on the talent. So why was that? Why didn't you guys feel that?
Yeah, I think, it's just, day to day, Coach Johnson, all the coaches do a great job of instilling, just fundamentals, stay together. It's a 60-minute game, and we knew there was still time. And, Caleb's, special quarterback and, made great plays down there. And, we're out of the fight, so it was awesome.
That was Joe Tooney, Bears offensive lineman, talking about just the confidence that the Bears team had in Caleb Williams and the opportunity to do it. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Bears take down the Cincinnati Bengals 47-42, and it was a team effort. Despite allowing the opening kickoff to go for a touchdown and the Bears putting up 2 tutties in their first 2 possessions, which is what you wanted from this team, up 15, less than 2 minutes to go, the Bengals put up 15 points in less than a minute. Bears get the ball back with a minute left to Caleb Williams and 2 timeouts. And a 56-yard pass to Colston Loveland gets the job done for the Chicago Bears. But we're taking your phone calls. Curious what your takeaways from this one are. I personally not necessarily sure how to feel after this one. I want to feel good, but there's something that got me feeling a little icky still. Charlie on TikTok is talking about the Bears secondary really fell apart there. I don't know if it fell apart or was already falling apart. Like, you know what I mean? The patchwork job that was done to this thing, with it injured Tyreek Stevenson, no Jalen Johnson. You saw Nick McCloud get ate up by Ja'Marr Chase a couple times. So, bringing in Gardner Johnson, certainly something that I thought it was a good pickup. You saw a couple teams make moves at the cornerback position. You saw the Eagles trade for 2 of them. You saw the Rams get 1. So, the Bears didn't overpay, essentially, for, what they were trying to shore up, which is that cornerback position. But, again, ready to take your calls. Want to know your takeaways from this one. So, let's go out there. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Greg out in Wisco. Greg, welcome back to the show, man. Good to talk to you.
Well, good morning, sir. Thanks for having me again. My main take from the game is that it was a victory. And we got to take something out of it being a victory as a fan base. Maybe step back and let our breath out, because it seems like we're always holding our breath as a fan base. And I remember calling last year and we were under Eberflus, and it was frustration over and over and over. And now this time it seems like, yeah, we feel like we're cursed, as my son and I were screaming at the TV during the whole game. But victory is a victory, and sometimes you got to take it for what it's worth, because it's the NFL and those games go that way. I took great solace in the fact that the team to the north lost on a last-second field goal, and the disdain on their faces for losing gave me more pleasure with a victory like this than anything that we could have. It could have easily went the other way, and we could have had a loss, but we did not. As far as the end-of-the-game sequence, some last 2 series of plays for Cincy, wouldn't it have helped? It seemed like they didn't put any pressure on Flacco. Is that show a dire need to go out and get another end rusher, either one of the high-end ones that are out there available, or do we need to somehow scheme that different? Because Flacco needed to have pressure put on him because he's seen everything.
Yeah,
if he's made to move, then he's not the quarterback that he normally is.
Yeah, great thoughts right there, Greg. I mean, a couple things. One, you saw Dennis Allen try to draw some pressure for Joe Flacco and get him out of the pocket. The problem is he does have a quick release, right? He knows where he wants to go. And that's where you saw the Bears get beat, where Tremaine Edmonds thought that that one pass to the tight end Noah Fant was going to go to the flat, and it ended up going on the seam route to Noah Fant because he had a little bit more time, not necessarily known for doing that. But I think the reason why Dennis Allen felt comfortable not bringing the pressure in certain situations was because he thought that, you know, Austin Booker, who, you know, looked good back in his first action on the opposite of Montez Sweat. Montez Sweat was creating a lot of pressure. So I think Dennis Allen felt comfortable in them. And I think if you listen to some of the reports, the Bears are making phone calls to bring in some added bodies on the defensive side of the ball. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But I think, you know, Joe Flacco could carve you up, right? Like he can. Especially with T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. I mean, so it was like a double-edged sword where you wanted to create pressure to have him get the ball out quickly and certainly dialed it up in certain moments. But at the same time, I mean, you wanted you're with a injured defensive backfield and a brand new piece in Gardner Johnson. I'm sure he wanted to be conservative to not allow the big plays. But you heard Ben Johnson talk about it at halftime, right? Too many explosive plays for the Bengals in that one. I'm curious your thoughts on Caleb Williams. Greg, I know you and I have had a lot of chats about QB1. You know, after a game like this where he's, you know, sub 60% completion percentage, and he felt like he had a couple I'm sure he wish he could have over again. What were your thoughts on Caleb's performance?
So I think he played absolutely fine. It gets a little erratic during games. It does almost for every quarterback in the league. It gets to where certain series will get away from quarterbacks. I noticed during the game, Archuleta was calling the game on CBS there. And in one series, Archuleta made the statement of, I think Williams breaks out of the box too early and tends to run. And in the next statement, he's saying that, well, he's got to come out and run at this point.
I saw
trying
that.
To make that pass.
I know what you're talking about.
That kind of stuff drives me nuts because I don't believe that's a fair assessment of who he is and who he can be. He's still really young, and we keep saying that, but he's also in a different offense. We keep saying that. Let it settle in. The fact that he took us down the field in the last minute and they won the game should get everybody a little bit of hope of everything that they do have a quarterback that's more than capable of winning games on his own when things break down kind of like they did. And so as a team, hey, the offense helped the defense. I think Tremaine Edmonds' pick there at the end when that was called a non-pick six, I thought that was kind of cheap. He did get touched, I guess. But that's another thing that happened that would have completely changed the game, too, where we wouldn't have been in the situation of biting our nails, too, you know. So, but, yeah, as a fan base, I do believe we just got to step back a little bit, take in a deep breath, and kind of let a victory be a victory and go from there.
I hear you, man. I hear you.
All right. Well, thanks for taking my call, Gabe, and you have a great day. I appreciate it.
Of course, Greg. Make sure you call back next week so I can get your opinion after the Bears take on the Giants. The one thing, my big takeaway from that phone call right there, you know, where you said, Greg, that Caleb can win you the games. That we do know for sure, right? Last 2 minutes of a half, Caleb can put points on the boards. What he shows you is that he can do it. What you want to see is him do it against good teams and put your team in a position to win instead of having to battle back against bad teams. Right, against the Raiders, against, you know, squads that you feel like the Bears should be winning handedly, against the Bengals, right? Up 14. There's no need for him to have to pull out the heroics in order to win a game. But again, I think that when you're talking about Caleb Williams, that's what you're hoping for, that he's showing you he can. It's unfortunate he's showing you he can against bad teams, and that with growth and maturation and consistency and time in Ben Johnson's offense, that the Bears can get to that point where now they're in the games against the good teams and maybe Caleb can get you down to get the victory. Like, that's the next level for the Bears. It was 2 years ago, it was don't get blown out. Like, that was the goal for the Bears. Don't get embarrassed. I remember that. Just don't get embarrassed. Like, be in the games at least. Then last year, it was be in the games and, like, can you win a couple? Now it's you should be winning these games against bad teams, which they're doing, right? And granted, they're winning it by the skin of their teeth, but they're winning these games. And then the hope is that next year, they're not struggling to beat bad teams, but now what we're experiencing, like against this and this week against the Cincinnati Bengals, now you're winning those games, but you're having these types of games against the Eagles, against the Packers, against the Lions, where sometimes you're coming out victorious and sometimes it's ending like the Ravens. Like, that's where you want to be. And then hopefully 2 years from now, you're a team that people fear. That when they look at the schedule and they see the Bears, they're like, damn, we got to go play the Bears at Soldier Field. Or damn, Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze are coming to town. Like, that's what you want the evolution of the Bears to be. But it'll be interesting to see. Again, the Bears take down the Cincinnati Bengals, 47-42. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you. And typically, Ben Johnson only talks for about 5 minutes. That's it. He's in. He's out. He's brash and doesn't give you much. This time, he actually talked a little longer. People had some questions for him. So I want to play Ben Johnson for you. Then we'll get to some Caleb Williams in a second. But here is what your head coach had to say following a 47-42 victory over the Cincinnati Bengals.
A few guys that didn't end the game with us there. Cole Kmet with a concussion. Josh Blackwell with a concussion. And then Dio had an ankle. So we'll see what that looks like when we get back. Overall, just really proud of the group and how resilient they were. There's a number of things that weren't pretty, that weren't clean. And yet I think what you learn about this group through the first half of the season is that they are an extremely resilient bunch. They show up and they're going to fight you all 60 minutes, and they really don't waver. I give them a lot of credit for their poise. With the way that game went, you know, you're up 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and you know, they get the onside kick, they take the lead, and it's easy to fold. And our guys didn't do that. They kept the faith and found a way to come out on top. And so there'll be a lot of tape that we can coach off of and we can clean up. I think the best thing is you go in the locker room and it's an exciting win like that, and yet there's a number of guys that are pretty disappointed with how they played. And so I think that's the sign of a good football team, is they can recognize it immediately, and we're going to be able to clean it up and get it fixed. So, you know, you don't apologize for winning in this league. It's too hard week in and week out, especially on the road. And so, you know, it's – as a coach, you don't take these things for granted. So with that, I'll go ahead and open it up.
Ben, what was the emotional experience for you in the last 2 or so minutes?
I try to keep it pretty steady. I mean, we were on top of it. I just try to keep level-headed in terms of making sure we have enough time for our own rebuttal. And so we're using our timeouts, and, you know, that's kind of worst-case scenario, but you're kind of thinking that way and making sure that you got a chance. And, you know, we came back, and we needed a field goal, and just about a minute left in a timeout. So we felt pretty good about those, that scenario. It's easy to go up and down and ride that roller coaster, but I think the coaching staff did a pretty good job just staying level-headed throughout.
It looked like in the sequence that you're talking about with the Bengals going in, it looked like you weren't conceding anything, but you were preparing for at least the probability that they were going to
Yeah, you know, and you could see it in their intent as well. You know, they got down in the red zone, he started running the ball to try to drain some of the clock off. And so, you know, that's part of that game, is they want to have the last score themselves and win the game, and we want to have enough time just in case to rebuttal. So, that's the strategic part of it that can be a little bit fun.
What's going through your mind on Colson's play? Are you thinking, okay, he's got it, he's going to be in field goal range, and then he takes off and runs away from everyone?
Yeah, I just told Jeff that I was hunting one coverage there before halftime and end of the game in the 2 minute scenarios, and couldn't get it. There was probably 3 or 4 calls I had, and I just didn't get it. And then finally we got it on that particular play, and Caleb did a great job seeing it, delivered a good ball. Figured it was going to be explosive. Wasn't expecting it to be a touchdown, though, and I think that was Colston's speed just taking off and going for it. So it was good to see.
On that play, is Colston the number one?
Yes.
We've gotten used to how you've talked about how even keeled you are. I mean, how challenging was it, though, for you in those final 2 minutes to really stay
Shoot, I was actually probably more even keeled then than I was earlier in the game. You could ask our offensive coaching staff. I can say some things on the headset that aren't too pleasant, but I think the whole group, coaches and players, they handled it really well.
Ben, how about Caleb's ups and downs throughout the game and then finishing strong like that?
Yeah, I can't make a knee-jerk reaction on that quite yet. Here's what I know is he threw some touchdowns. He didn't throw any interceptions, and I thought he used his legs to help us extend drives as well. So I was pleased with that.
How impressive was Kyle stepping in like he did today?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised. That's kind of who he's been since he's been here. Very reliable. He's going to do which you're coaching. And he's hard to bring down. I think that showed up. What he was in Rutgers was the bell cow for that team, and he proved today that he can carry that load if called upon.
Is there a reason why you went to so many of the trick plays today?
No. I mean, I think we had a lot of plays in general. So we're just cycling through what we felt like would work, and I don't feel like it was any more on a game plan than we normally have.
What was the thinking and why that would work, the play with Tyson?
With Tyson?
Pass to Tyson.
Yeah. I believe that was off the turnover. Is that correct?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so we had a little momentum. Was looking to piggyback on that. And then it's one of those gadgets where you're throwing it out wide, trying to get some young players on their defense to potentially have bad eyes. We had the ability to throw that ball down the field. They covered it well down there, but then we were able to throw it back across. So,
do you presume on that play and the DJ pass to Caleb that they're going to probably just ignore the quarterback, the starting quarterback, kind of wandering out there?
Well, in man coverage, there's not a defender assigned to the quarterback, and so that can be a good play if you get the right coverage.
DJ's touchdown when Zach challenged it. What are you thinking? Because obviously we know what's happened with those balls going out of the end zone. And I don't know if you have rules for guys in those situations, but what's your vantage point of that going?
Yeah, I mean, they our guys know we don't reach the ball out at the pylon. And so DJ was the first one over to me. He's like, Coach, the way he hit me kind of forced the ball to go like that. But he felt like he had possession of it. And I think the video affirmed that for us. So it was good.
Ben, on that last play of the Bengals, it seemed like you all rushed four. I may be mistaken. But when so many coaches tend to rush three and sort of sit back and let the play develop, what went into the decision to try and get pressure on Joe Flacco rather than just sitting
on the Hail Mary attempt?
Yeah.
You know, I think teams have philosophies on that, and each week's a little bit different. But we felt pretty comfortable going into this week and that being our plan of attack.
Ben, onside kick, just what did you see in what can you guys do better in that situation?
I got to look at that tape one more time. It was on the opposite side of the field, so I didn't see it close up. But the guys upstairs said it hit Hardy's foot, and so we'll see what we can do better next time.
What concerns do you have defensively? I know you don't want to dig. You can't dig into the details until you've seen the film, but there's got to be some categories of issues defensively in a game like this.
We knew that those guys on the outside, on the perimeter, were really good players. And, I mean, I think Flacco, and since he's been here, he's kind of done this every week in and week out. And so I'm not going to make, like I said, any knee-jerk reactions here right after the game. We'll look at that tape. We'll evaluate what we did well, what we didn't do well. And if we need to make adjustments, we will.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Thank you.
Ben Johnson, head coach of the Chicago Bears, talking to the media following the Bears 47-42 victory over the Cincinnati Bengals. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Taking your phone calls 312-644-6767. Did you feel like Ben Johnson? I don't know. I got the feeling where he's found himself an out to answer tough questions. Like, I want you to talk about Caleb Williams. You know, I don't want to make a knee-jerk reaction. Got to go watch the tape. But he had some touchdowns, no interceptions, solid job. It's like, what follow-up are you supposed to give? Defense didn't play great today, gave up 42 points. Thoughts on that? Yeah, you know what? Don't want to throw anybody under the bus. Got to go ahead and watch the tape for that one. It's like,
better than any alternative.
I guess, but I also want you to answer questions about your team that we all want to know the answers for.
Do you want him answering like Ditka?
No, I just want him to answer honestly. Like, Caleb Williams, yeah, you know what? He's still struggling. Yeah, he's 20 for 34 is not good enough.
Because that's what he would have done.
Right. That's what it should be in those situations. But, again, curious what you have to say. Phone lines are open, 312-644-6767. But Ben Johnson, you know, he called the kind of game that gets you noticed across the league, right? Saw him answer questions about some trick plays, leaned on his run game from his seventh-round rookie. And then when it mattered the most, you dialed up a play for Caleb Williams to come through and get the game-winning touchdown. I mean, it wasn't just a win for Ben Johnson, right? Some would call it an offensive masterpiece when you put up three touchdowns, no interceptions, 280 yards, 176 on the ground. Like, that's what you would do, right? 576 yards total, which is impressive. And that balance that I complained about, right, because I wanted Caleb Williams to be the reason why the Bears won this game, that balance wasn't an accident. We know Ben Johnson loves to marry tempo and toughness and motion and misdirection and get the Bears team in a rhythm that keeps offenses guessing all afternoon. And that's exactly what we saw from Ben Johnson. The way he used Caleb Williams, you could call it surgical for that matter. Obviously, I said that it was an indictment on his belief in Caleb Williams, that he didn't lean on him more, that he had to lean on Kyle Manungai. But, you know, some would say it's creativity when you're talking about Ben Johnson. A QB run here, a rollout there, even dialing up an opportunity for him to catch a pass from DJ Moore, which, sheesh, that could have been bad. But you love when creativity meets confidence. And that's what you get in Ben Johnson. Creativity and confidence coming together. And then having a signature play at the very tail end. I talked about it too often where I felt like Ben Johnson finds himself forcing the ball too often to people in order to shut other people up. Like, oh, you think I'm tired of answering Tyler Warren, Coastin Loveland questions. We're going to do the first play of the game, a bootleg to Coastin Loveland. But this one I felt was a bit different. I even saw Caleb Williams grow and have more confidence in Coastin Loveland in real time, where he catches a pass and then he tries to find him for the two-point conversion. Because Caleb Williams, as we saw with Roma Dunze, will try to fit the ball in if he's trying to do that. But again, trusting Coastin Loveland on the 58-yard game winner, just having faith in your system and knowing what buttons to push too on your team, right? Not just with the speeches that you give, but also the play calling. And, you know, if we didn't already know, Sunday made it official. Ben Johnson, as we already put up 42 points, he's not just a guy. He can out-scheme veteran defenses and give a young QB a defining moment like he did today. All right, we're going to take a break. Speaking of, you know, QBs, we get an opportunity to hear from Caleb Williams on the other side. And, you know, when you're talking about post games in Chicago, some might say it's a bit oversaturated, right? You can turn anywhere and get somebody covering. But who does it the best? I'm telling you right now, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, those are two of the best in the game. You can hear them following every Bears game right here on 670 The Score. If we have time, I want to play something from them as well. I love what they said following the victory. So, again, we got a lot of clips there, but I would love to hear from you as well. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. Curious what your takeaways were on this one. I'm still in the middle. Not sure if I want to feel good or bad following this victory, but I want to hear what you have to say. Again, 312-644-6767. We'll take your calls. We'll play some Caleb. Lot more to go as I'm on till 5 a.m. live and local for you on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on 670.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Score.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Johnson's face at the end of that football game tells me everything that I need to know about where the Chicago Bears are headed. The limit does not exist because I think that this team can compete with any team in the National Football League. I like their plan for not putting everything on Caleb's plate and just allowing this team to win games as that, a team. It's not one guy, it's the team.
Kyle Long talking about your Chicago Bears and specifically Benny J. Ben Johnson and his face following the... He did crack a smile. And did you see that when they played that?
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
Grant,
I mean,
leader producer
cracking
today.
A smile? Wow.
I know. He's so serious in so many different moments. So seeing him smile, and what was funny about that smile, once the Bears were up 14 points at that point, is that the Bears ended up losing the lead. So I'm sure Ben Johnson's like, this is why I don't smile.
Who do you think smiles less, him or Bill Belichick?
Oh, Belichick for sure. I don't even think I might have seen him smile once, maybe. The Bears currently have a 30% chance to make the playoffs, which I think is interesting. Top three teams right now, Tampa Bay, Green Bay, Philadelphia. Then Detroit, the Rams, San Francisco. Seattle with a 67% chance. I think that's more about whether or not they can win the division. They did have a good victory last night against the Washington Commanders. But the Bears at 26%, you can find some more victories in there and they get to that point. That's certainly that. But you're going to need better play from Caleb Williams because you're going to have to win one of these big games against some of the best teams in the league. And, of course, I'm talking about games against the Eagles, the Lions, the Packers, and the Pittsburgh Steelers who upset the Indianapolis Colts today, which I picked, by the way. Picked that. I didn't win my pick'em week, but I definitely picked the Steelers over Indianapolis. And, you know, before I get into my thoughts on Caleb and playing his press conference, I just got reminded on my social media that I haven't mentioned that I won an Emmy over the weekend.
Hey, congratulations.
I know. You know, I've never been able to say that over the course of my career. But for those of you that don't know, I host a TV show called Inside the Fire, and it's on Marquee Sports Network, and it covers the Chicago Fire soccer team, football in Spanish, football. And so, yes, that was up for an Emmy, Best Long-Form Content, Original Long-Form Content, and we ended up winning. We ended up winning an Emmy. And then I wasn't sure how to brag about it because it's not like I won for hosting, but my TV show won for best show. And if I host the show, then that means walk me through this.
I mean, it's always the humble brag that's always the best type of brag. It's like when you subtly like throw it in there and it's just like, yeah, won an Emmy.
Won an Emmy. I mean,
only a few amount of people, maybe like less than 2% of the population have done it. So, yeah.
It's a baby flex. But again, it's not like I won. It's not like Gabe Ramirez won, but the show won. But I'm hosting the show. And then I struggle with that. As someone that doesn't like to really just pat himself on the back, I struggled with that and how I should like word it. But then I thought to myself, you know, if... Like, what show? Let's say, like, Family Feud won an Emmy.
Okay.
Okay? For, like, best content, right? Funniest content or whatever. I know that's not a category, but let's just say Steve Harvey would feel good about winning the Emmy because he hosts Family Feud.
Right. But he would go up on the stage, and one of his first things he would be like,
weird,
I want to thank my family. I want to thank, you know, my wife. And, what you know, he would go through that. But then he would think, everybody that helped produce and make Family Feud what it is.
Yeah. So basically what you're saying is there's no qualms about me saying that I won an Emmy, right?
Right. They do it for the Oscars, they do it for the Tonys, the Academy Awards. Like, all the, when someone wins, they go, I want to thank everybody that helped this film, this music, et cetera, et cetera. It wouldn't be possible. Yep.
Like, if I won an Emmy, which you wouldn't for radio, but if I won an Emmy for radio, I would have to thank Grant Leader, right, for just... So it's like kind of like you won too.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm just a little small part of the show.
And that's how I feel about Inside the Fire, except that I host it. And so either way, I had to tell my parents, my dad said something really sweet. He was like, I sent the clip of Inside the Fire being announced as the winner into my family group chat. And my dad's like, did you win an Emmy? I was like, yeah, but it's, you know what I mean? Because I don't want people to think it's the real Emmys, because that's what you think of initially.
Sure.
And I'm like, yeah, but it's the regional Emmys. It's not like the Emmys. It's not the big one. He's like, it's a big one to me, son. He's like, this is a big deal. I'm so proud of you. And I was like, all right, I guess maybe I did put this in the group chat to get some pats on the back. And then
there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with the pat on the back here and there.
So from now on, when I come on shows.
Okay.
You know where I'm going.
I know where you're going with it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Emmy Award winning host Gabe Ramirez. Right? I mean, if we're going to take it there.
You know how people like they get knighted and they're like Sir Elton John?
Yes.
You can do like Emmy Award winning Gabe Ramirez right there. Put in your name.
If somebody gets a doctorate, they're a Dr. Ramirez.
Exactly.
And if you win an Emmy, you're Emmy Award winning. You know what I hate? I'll tell you this. I hate when I see Emmy nominated or Grammy nominated, because it's like, okay, you got nominated, but you didn't win. Because if you'd have won, you say Grammy winning. Grammy. So like when you put nominated, so like if somebody could put Emmy nominated, then I could certainly put Emmy Award winning.
Sure. Like, I guess in sport contents, no one is saying runner-up MVP Lamar Jackson,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But, I mean, that's if he didn't win the previous, like, if he doesn't have two
sports
already, right? Yeah. They wouldn't go the MVP running up. I mean, they don't say that about Dak Prescott, like, in 2023, because he was a runner-up.
Yeah, they're not saying, like, two-time Super Bowl appearing quarterback, right?
I mean, they say that about winning. Jim Kelly's a four-time Super Bowl appearing.
Did you see him on the pregame by any chance?
Jim Kelly?
Yeah.
No.
He was on the pregame, and I had to tell my father-in-law's obviously older than me, and I had to tell him, I was like, that's Jim Kelly. He looked good.
He does. And the battle he's been through, man.
I know.
He's a fighter.
That's why I had to say he looked good. But
good for him.
Good for him. But he's no Emmy Award-winning host, though.
No, he's not.
I'll tell you that.
He is not.
But you know who is?
Yes, I do.
Gabe Ramirez.
Darn right.
And you are listening to the Emmy Award winning Gabe Ramirez right now on 670 The Score. Of course, you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. And I am just the beginning. Think about this. If your morning is starting with an Emmy Award winning host, just imagine what the rest of this Plumbers 911 Football Monday has in store for you. Of course, I hand it off to Dustin Rhodes, who, in my heart of hearts, is an Emmy Award-winning producer.
Absolutely.
And he will then hand it off to Mullion Hall, who I'm sure David Hall has won an Emmy at some point. He just strikes me as an Emmy-winning kind of a guy.
He's definitely an Emmy Award-winning kind of guy.
They have Olin Krutz and TJ Edwards at 7 o'clock, and then at 8 o'clock on the show. It's going to be good stuff. Then Raheem Harris and Grody. They got Anthony Heron at 11, Dan Wiederer at 1, and then Spiegel and Holmes have Kurt Warner at 3 and Chris Emma at 5:25. But right now I'm trying to hear from you. You, my third shifter, my early riser, the one who feels well rested because the clocks went back an hour and now you feel like you got some extra sleep. I am curious your thoughts on this Bears game. Bears win 47-42 over the Bengals, and this one had a lot. This one had a lot, made you feel a lot of different ways. Of course, Bears score in every quarter again. You know, this is a theme that they've had, only a handful of quarters that they haven't scored in. 576 total yards of offense. Rushed for a season high, 283 yards. Caleb Williams, 20 for 34 on the day, 280 yards, 3 touchdowns, plus 1 receiving touchdowns on a trick play. That was great. Kyle Manungai, the story of the day. Rushed 26 times for 176 yards. Just really cool. And then big plays on the day, of course. I mean, the game against the Ravens, first play of the game, You're trying to eliminate the penalties. Bears get called for a penalty, and Dominique Robinson goes down with an injury. You think things are going to be different. Opening play here, Charlie Jones, 98 yards for a touchdown. Did you have that stat?
Yeah, so the stat is that this year there's only been one other kick return by Antonio Gibson, who plays for the Patriots, former Commander running back.
Yep.
But last year, Charlie Jones did, in fact, take a kickoff return for a touchdown.
Really?
He was one of seven people that took back a kickoff return. There hasn't been a guy since 2022, since Nyheim Hines did it twice. So he's the
Steelers?
Steelers and then the Bills, because I think it was a midseason trade that year.
Okay.
But there hasn't been a guy since 2022 to do multiple kickoff returns for touchdowns.
Okay.
So
I like that.
I mean, he did it last year. He did it this year. Maybe he could do it again. Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? But again, only one other guy has done it all season long. We're in week nine, and only two people have run a kickoff back for a touchdown, and one of them is against the Bears. Sad reality. But of course, the game-winning play, for those of you that didn't get a chance to watch, with 17 seconds left, Caleb Williams hit rookie tight end Colston Loveland for that 58-yard strike. Colston Loveland catches it, bounces off a hit, and then has the breakaway speed to get into the end zone, which, you know, the Bears could have just kicked a field goal, but thank God we didn't have to deal with that. Bengals quarterback Joe Flacco, 30 for 44, 470 yards, four touchdowns, two interceptions. First interception in like 160 passes. I thought that was really cool. Two lead changes in the final minute. This one had you on the edge of your seat. That is for sure. Colston Loveland, six catches, 118 yards, two touchdowns. I can get into that whole conversation a little bit later. T. Higgins, shout out to those people that bet Higgins and Jamar Chase over 100 yards receiving, because that seemed like a lock. Seven catches, 121 yards, two touchdowns. Jamar Chase, six catches, 111 yards. A couple of injuries. Cole Kmet, Josh Blackwell, both left with concussions. Cole Kmet's obviously as a result of a bad pass from Caleb Williams. He was wide open, threw it too high, and then the DB ended up getting Cole Kmet on the way down. Samaje Perine had a right ankle injury on a kickoff, which seemed tough. But, you know, after the game, Bears moved to 5-3 on the season. Showed they can win a shootout. Showed that they can execute late. And showed that their defense isn't necessarily the best in the present. But you got to find different ways to win, right? After the opening kickoff, 11 seconds in, it's a wild start, so you already felt like it was going to be chaotic. And then you saw the Bears lean on Kyle Manungai instead of Caleb Williams. That's my if you're listening right now and you didn't watch this game, that's my big takeaway. People didn't see it through my lens, but that's what I saw. I saw inefficiency from the quarterback, and then Ben Johnson just getting frustrated and saying, "You know what? Screw it. I'm just going to go ahead and run the ball." There was one time, it was on first and third down in the red zone. The Bears ran the ball with Kyle Manungai. This was early in the game. And I thought to myself, damn, not once. You saw Joe Flacco do it to Jamar Chase. Just, you know, the little toss to the back corner and let your best receiver just go up and get it. Like, Caleb Williams almost seems like he's too afraid to do that.
You feel like he doesn't have confidence as a receiver? Like, the chemistry's a little bit off?
No, I think he's just more afraid of the interception.
Well, he doesn't turn the ball over like, you know, Geno Smith.
That's my point.
You know? So
he doesn't want to.
Yeah.
He doesn't want those marks on the report card. He wants to play clean football. And that's why he extends plays for as long as he does, because he doesn't want to just get rid of it. He wants to try to find the perfect pass or the perfect play. And I think that when you're in the red zone, it has to be a little scrappy. You got to give Roma Dunze an opportunity to go get the ball. Oh, you want stats from Roma Dunze? Sure, I have no problem giving these to you, because I've been rattling these off for the last week on the Chicago lead on CHSN. Roma Dunze led college football in deep catches and deep yards. Roma Dunze was second in college football in catches over 20 yards. Roma Dunze had a 75% jump ball success rate in college. Somebody like that, you just throw the ball to and you let him go up and get it. You trust him to do that. And the Bears, on first and third down, found themselves running the ball with Kyle Manungai instead of, once again, just throwing the ball up for one of you guys. Coastal Love and found them in the back of the end. Like, these are the kind of things you have to do. But what did Caleb Williams have to say following this Bears victory? I love his press conferences because he's always open. He's very vulnerable in certain situations and doesn't hesitate to critique himself. So here he is. Again, Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Phone lines are open. Talking to you all day. It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by BC Bank and Great Clips. But here is Caleb Williams following the 47-42 victory against the Cincinnati Bengals.
What's up, everybody?
You look happy.
Yeah, we just won in a fun fashion.
How was the emotional experience of the final 2 minutes or so?
For me or for just the team? For me, calm. Speaking to coach throughout the week, we knew that this is an explosive offense. They can score at any moment. They can score. He said it before the game, day before the game or so, that, you know, we get up by two touchdowns, don't feel good or comfortable or anything like that. You know, and that's what they did today. I mean, they made plays, and we knew it was going to be a shootout. We knew it was going to be one of those games. And obviously we have to, you know, play better on different sides of the balls and things like that. But us coming through in this way, I think this has been really the only way that we haven't this year. And so being able to show all the variety of ways to win the game that we can is really important for our confidence as an offense, as a team, and things like that. And the guys after the game, it doesn't matter that they put up, how many ever points they put up. We're all excited for this win. This is a big moment for us, you know, to be able to go into this next quarter of the season 5-3.
What does it say about a team, though, that after the onside kick and they score to go ahead with them? A lot of teams wouldn't have been able to come back just mentally.
That's what we are. When things don't go our way, when adversity hits, we find ways to win for each other. That's it. I think that's been what it's been this year. Offense not scoring, defense shows up. Defense and offense may give up a touchdown. Special teams puts us in good field position. And, you know, we kick game winners and things like that. Today, we have to put up a bunch of points to be able to help our brothers. And I think us doing that today builds confidence in those guys on the other side of the ball. Obviously our side, but the other side of the ball, building confidence that they know that we have their back.
Your final pass today, can you take us through that entire sequence?
Yeah. In that moment, I was a little bit of an emotional roller coaster just because it was around 30 so seconds or around that time. And, you know, you throw that pass and you want to get in field goal range and get down, clock it, and then kick the game winning field goal. Colston made a great play, O-line blocked well. You know, threw a solid ball to Colston. He made a great play for us, bouncing off a few tackles and taking it the distance. And so in that moment, it's like Steph Curry with Steve Kerr, where it's like, oh, no, 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 yes, yes, yes. So that's where I was in that moment. Like I said, Colston made a great play for us. That's why he's here.
You're a little nervous he's going to get caught there?
I think it was 28 starting to track him down. And I was like, let's go, Colston. Pick up the legs and get in the end zone. You've took it the distance now. Go finish the game.
What did Ben said that he was looking for a coverage. Like,
yeah, we were looking for that coverage.
So when you see that coverage, like, what do you, and you know the play call, what's kind of going through your head?
Yeah, in that moment, when he calls it, I'm wishing, I know exactly what coverage he was wanting for that one play. Throughout the whole game, we were hunting it the whole game. And in that moment, we went on the sideline, when him and I were on the sideline speaking, he was like, I think we're going to get this coverage here in this moment. And it's awesome when you got a coach like that. I think we end up getting the coverage. Just like I said, threw a solid ball, O-line blocked well. Like I said, Colston Wynn made a great play for us.
I don't know what you call that Philly specialish.
We called it a hot potato. It looks like, you know, you're hot potatoing the ball around to different people four times. And so one to Rome, one to DJ, and then back to me. It was something we've been practicing for the past like 2 weeks, and it finally showed up on game day. It was a big play for us. What'd you say?
Think you'd have a two-reception game?
I actually did think I was gonna have a two-catch game. Both of those plays were plays that we've been practicing, and they actually look really good in practice. The hot potato ended up looking really good this week, and then the play before, it looked good, you know, kind of immediately. So I felt really confident, and I know Coach felt really confident about calling in those moments, and they showed up for us.
Did you feel that they defensively were kind of just treating you like a decoy and not really taking the threat seriously that you
of
might
me running
on both plays where you caught a pass?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, typically defenses don't necessarily account for the quarterback unless it's like a zone read or things like that. So, you know, it happens like that where, you know, defense account for the 10 other players on the offense, and that's really typically how it goes. And I mean, that's even typically how it goes with, you know, quarterbacks running and things like that. Like I was doing today, just taking off when it wasn't there, trying to just stay on track, help us get back in range and things like that. So, you know, defense accounts for typically the 10 players on the field instead of the quarterback.
Have you been injured at USC before?
Yeah, I've had a couple catches throughout my career. USC, high school, things like that.
How did you manage your own ups and downs throughout the game?
Yeah, I think I had one moment where I was just frustrated. We end up, I think it was the fumble near midfield. We didn't score in that moment. We ended up getting three, and I know that would have helped us tremendously, being able to get that 7 points right there. The way we were rolling, we should have, you know. And I really wish we did. So I got a little frustrated in that moment, but other than that, you know, just calm throughout the game, understanding that it was going to be one of these type of games.
How would you summarize the day, Kyle?
The day with Dre Swift down, we needed somebody to step up in that position, and that's what he did for us. It was expected of him. I know not by necessarily the outside world, but from inside, we know how hard of a runner he is, the type of back he is, and things like that. And to be able to step up while Dre Swift is down was a big for us.
With your athleticism and everything, what do you think it'll show on film? Do you think teams will have to watch you more?
Yeah, and everything? It's something that I've need to be more conscious of myself to be able to help this team. I think, you know, my legs can be dangerous in any moment, but definitely in key moments. And so, you know, when they cover the guys down, don't always have to scramble and just, you know, do those cool plays and things like that. I'm on scramble drill. Go get the yardage, get down, live to fight for another down. When the big shots come, you know, or anything like that, the completions, checkdowns, whatever, just make them and, you know, keep the team moving.
Caleb, halftime probably feels like a year ago, but what was kind of going through your guys' mind? Because you have that drive that ends in the missed field goal,
yep,
and you weren't able to push the ball very far.
Yep.
But you had a lot of success throughout the early part of the game. So what's kind of your mentality at that moment?
Yeah, going into halftime?
Yeah, just the 2 minute practice.
Yeah,
the
way yeah, yeah. So it was frustrating just because we pride ourselves on being able to be good in the middle eight. And you know, not being able to get points right there, especially versus a team like this, they were up at that moment. We wanted to, you know, tie it. It was 17-20, I think, a half, right? Wanted to tie it up in that moment and you know, going into half, you know, feeling solid about ourselves in that moment. And so when we got into the locker room, we were moving the ball well. We understood that. I understood that. So it's just getting back on, you know, getting back on track. When we get back out there, we're getting the ball, you know, coming back out. And so go score, put up points, and be effective in that way to help our team.
The Bears have not traditionally been a team that wins,
yep,
shootout games.
Yep.
In fact, this is the first time they've ever won giving up this many points. How much excitement has been brought to the offense when you guys go through the week and you see these creative ideas being put into the game plan?
Yeah, I mean, I think that excitement, I think Ben actually sometimes wishes for a little bit more excitement when he's installing it, but we're all just kind of focused on trying to make sure the play looks good. But, you know, in the moments and things like that, we practice these plays like they're a base play that we've been running since training camp. And so, you know, we feel confident. We feel extremely confident about when the play is called that it's going to work and we're going to go execute it. And I think that's kudos to Coach and how he coaches us and how he pushes us. But it's also kudos to, you know, the players and belief in each other and when he calls it that it's going to work. And so, you know, I think in these moments, in those moments, I think the guys have belief that we're going to go win those games. And so having those moments, you know, come up and find ways to win only provides confidence for us, and we got to keep going.
DJ said his passes were pretty bad.
I didn't want to say it. But I dropped a few in those moments working up for those passes. And so being able to call it, you know, this week and, you know, get it right, make it look good was important for Coach and us. And so we made it happen. It was a great play for us.
Why is that called hot potato?
It basically looked like you're hot, like it's just hot potato with the ball, just misdirections, things like that. And go make a play.
Thanks, guys.
Hot potato. The Bears.
My man said hot potato. the name of the actual play where he caught the touchdown. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score. Interesting thoughts from Caleb Williams on that one. Curious what yours are following the Bears' victory. 312-644-6767. The phone lines are open. You feel good about it, but would the Bears have won the game if the run game didn't do what it did? That's the question I have right now. If Kyle Manunga doesn't go crazy, would Caleb Williams have had enough in the tank to go ahead and win this game? And I'm not trying to, I know it sounds like I'm the grumpy radio guy just attacking the quarterback after a victory, but you wonder, because what I'm seeing based off the phone calls that we've gotten today, what I'm seeing that no one else saw is that the offensive explosion by Kyle Manunga was not planned. This is something that they, if you're Ben Johnson, you're going into the game and you say, all right, I don't have DeAndre Swift, so I have a seventh round rookie and I have Caleb Williams, my number one draft pick, I have two. Who am I going to lean on to win this game? Let's be very clear here. The answer is Caleb Williams. You're going to lean on, like, you're not going into that game saying, oh, well, I know I'm going to pound the rock with Kyle Manungai. No. You're playing a bad Cincinnati Bengals defense, and you're saying this is going to be the game that Caleb Williams is going to go crazy. And then in the middle of the game, everything changes. He has to lean on Kyle Manunga. So the question remains, would the Bears have won the game if Kyle Manunga did not have the offensive explosion that he had? Would Caleb Williams have been able to put up the same amount of points or had the same amount of success had Ben Johnson had him throwing 44, 45 times? Curious your thoughts. 312-644-6767. Your calls on the other side. Again, you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. I'll give you the entire lineup of what's happening today and take your calls right after this. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.